It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
It's the roundtable, which we do here a couple times a week on CBD. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, and joining us is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. This is brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Please check out the delicious details at samanddaves.com. And their famous Main Event Lobster Celebration goes on now, and it's outstanding. If you haven't had a chance to try it, please do. We have now through Thanksgiving. You stop in on Sunday, and you get $15 off the delicious New England Lobster Bake. Sam and Dave's is open every Sunday at 1, but you better make reservations now. And it was again voted the West Side's best seafood restaurant and best happy hour by West Shore Magazine. And joining us again is Tom Withers. And this is fun, right? The leaves have turned. It's cold out. We're coming
now
off.
Falling.
They're talking about
literally
snow in the forecast tonight. Yeah, leaves are actually falling. And we're sitting here with a football team that has meaningful game. Well, certainly one meaningful game ahead of it, and perhaps more.
A meaningful November. That could be the chapter title here.
How different is that for you?
It's very different. Yeah. You know, it's been since 2007 since we've had any kind of meaningful football this late in the season. And before I forget, first of all, a heartfelt salute to all the veterans out there today, including my 82-year-old father, who I hope is listening and who proudly served during the Korean conflict. So I just want to pass that along as well. But, yeah, everybody came back today, you know, re-energized, refocused, and revived after the bye week. And we're talking about, you know, meaningful games. And who would have thought that back in September and October, that November would really be meaningful for this team?
And let me ask you were in the locker room with the players, and I know that's one of the things you wanted to dive into with them. How do you feel that they are handling the fact that this is such a big game? Are they ready?
I think it's hit them, and I think they are ready. And that was one of my main questions to a lot of guys today, Phil Taylor, DeQuell Jackson, Jordan Cameron, Devon Bess. They feel that, you know, what this team has had to endure through the first 9 weeks plus has prepared them for this moment. And what a big moment for them to go down to Cincinnati and take on the first-place Bengals, who are now reeling after that crazy game yesterday in Baltimore. So, this moment doesn't feel too big for this team. I think there's the right mix of, you know, veteran and, you know, naivete in that locker room that, you know, it can be handled by this group.
And I'm glad you brought up the naivete part, because I think that's key, too, is that some young guys don't know any better.
They
don't know what they don't know. And forget about the history of this club and its inability to play these meaningful games now, and forget about all the weight of previous failures. This is just what they have in front of them is their reality,
yeah.
Right? That this team is in a position to be in contention this time of year.
That's a great point, Vic. The young guys on this team, it's not that they don't care about the history of this team, because they have embraced the history of this team. What they don't care about is the recent history of this team, which was guys coming back from the bye week 2-7, nothing to play for, holding on till the end, hoping to keep a job until next year. This team comes back from a bye week hungry. And as DeQuell Jackson said today, you know what? It was cold outside today, but it didn't feel as cold as it has in years past. The food tastes a little better. The air smells a little sweeter because, hey, at the end of the road here, if this team can take it, as Coach Chudzinski has said to them, win the one, which means win this practice, win this rep, win this game. As long as they stick to that mantra, good things can happen for this team by the end of the year.
And it can happen. We were talking earlier about looking at the Baltimore Ravens and the Bengals, just watching them play that game. You got a sense, at least we did, that the Browns can absolutely, and we know they've beaten them already, but there's no reason that the Browns can't handle these teams and hang with them and beat them and at least be in it at the end with the position to win.
And I'll tell you something, Nathan, and I'm not even sure in 2007 we believed that this team could actually go toe-to-toe with the other three teams in the division. And now it's been shown. And you're only 9 games in. You've already beaten those two teams.
That's right.
And now you've got a rematch in a very big game with a Cincinnati team that has got all kinds of flaws over the last couple of weeks.
And you saw some of those flaws on display yesterday. You watched that game between the Ravens and the Bengals. And, Tom, when you looked at it, did you do, again, what a lot of us do? You compare to where the Browns are to these two so-called kingpins of the division, and I'm using that term loosely and maybe sarcastically now, because I don't know if this division has a kingpin.
I do that, but I'm always careful when I do that, because I think you get caught up then in thinking, okay, maybe the Browns are a little bit better than, you know, we've kind of overrated
really
things a little bit. Than they really are. You know, again, based on where the Ravens were last week in terms of their health and the way Flacco played and things like that. So, as you guys know, in this league, especially in this league, where it doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason on a week-to-week basis.
No, there is not.
Right? More so than in many past years.
St. Louis just smashed Indianapolis
yesterday. You know, when everybody's talking about the Colts maybe being one of the elite kingpin teams, if you will, in the AFC, you know, suddenly they're right back in the back of the pack. So, I'm always careful about doing that, Vic, but to your point and to Nathan's point earlier, you know, you look at this Browns team and where they've been able to come in 9 weeks, and you look at the state of the Ravens and the Bengals at this point in the season, and you have to think that the Browns are the one team of the three that are really on the uprise.
I think so, and to me, this game's going to come down to the ability to contain Andy Dalton and make him be bad Andy Dalton and not good Andy Dalton. And bad Andy Dalton's thrown 6 interceptions the last 2 weeks. Good Andy Dalton had 11 touchdowns in the 3 games prior to that. And you look at this Browns team, the first time they played him, no touchdowns, 1 interception. In the first 5 games of the year, the Browns had 4 interceptions, allowed only 2 passing scores. The last 4, they've allowed 11 passing scores, only have 2 interceptions. How do you see this pass defense being able to handle Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton's a head-scratcher, isn't he? I think, you know, Bengals coaches and fans today are probably thinking what or feeling what they feared was going to happen, was that this kid was not going to become the quarterback that they needed to get this team to the next level, and he hasn't played like that the last couple of weeks. Nathan, I agree with you. To me, A.J. Green, though, is still the key to this team. You've got to contain him, much like Joe Hayden did the first time this team.
That's right.
I forget exactly what his numbers were the first time, but he had another nice game yesterday. Obviously, they come up with the Hail Mary at the end. And how many times have you seen a team get a Hail Mary and then end up losing the game? That was just bizarre circumstances.
He had 7 catches for 51 yards in the first meeting against Joe Hayden. So far this season, the only receiver to go over 60 yards against Hayden was Torrey Smith in the very first meeting between these two teams. You know, you talk about Andy Dalton. Don't you think Andy Dalton's feeling a lot of pressure in this game?
100%. Oh, he has to be. Yeah. It has to feel the weight of coming off of this AFC Offensive Player of the Month award, this big honor that said basically you're the best offensive player, one of the best in the league, and to have that start falling apart on the last day of October and then to continue.
It was premature.
It was premature. So that's 6 interceptions since he got that award. So, yes, I agree with you that he's got to feel enormous pressure. And Nathan made this point earlier. The Browns, one of the big cleanups for this Browns team is eliminating the passes, these bigger plays that they've been allowing, touchdown passes, over these last 4 games. This would be a great time to start
to do that
process of because we think of a secondary that's gotten better play than we expected from Buster Screen. T.J. Ward having a Pro Bowl season, to Sean Gibson being a nice pleasant surprise, but they do have to start this shutdown thing in terms of touchdown passes.
Oh, I agree. And the secondary has grown leaps and bounds from the last time that the Bengals and the Browns played. So I think that's a good thing. And I think there's a confidence thing as well with that group. Plus, you know, the Browns, as you guys know, come back a lot healthier. Unfortunately, we found out today that Quentin Groves is going to be lost for the rest of the season. He's going to have surgery on that ankle, which just never got right. And I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the Browns defense because he's a real – I don't think fans can appreciate – the energy that he brings to the room and the energy he brings to practices and how much that can mean to a team to have that guy who's the same guy every day with a smile on his face, ready to work, especially to show some of these young guys how to get things done. But as we've talked about all year too, next man up, so somebody else is going to get a chance, and it could be Eric Martin.
Yeah, and I remember my first impression of Quentin Groves was in one of the first practices at training camp when he knocked Josh Cooper about 10 yards out of bounds, and everybody's like, wait a second, I don't think you're supposed to do that in training camp. And he didn't care, and I liked it. I like Quentin Groves will be missed, but next man up, Martin had the big fumble recovery against the Baltimore Ravens. And for this pass defense, to me, when you think about the fact that they played the Lions, the Packers, the Ravens with Torrey Smith, the Chiefs, Jordy Nelson scored, yes, but he had 40 yards. Of the 11 other 10 passing touchdowns allowed in that span, it's Joseph Fauria, Jared Boykin, Dexter McCluster, Marlon Brown, Anthony Sherman. These are the guys that have scored 10 touchdowns in 4 games against the Cleveland Browns. Right. If they can clean up on the secondary options and let Hayden do his thing, this could become, again, a lockdown pass defense like it was at the beginning of the year.
Well, yeah, and it reminds me, too, of where the Browns are on offense. In that you got to be able to shut everybody down.
That's right.
Because on the weeks when, you know, your number one and number two options aren't getting things done. Your 3 and 4 have to step up. But you're right. They got to go into the game maybe with that mindset. Okay, if we're going to take Green out of the game, then we better make sure that somebody else doesn't beat us.
It is the Roundtable, which is brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration.
One of the things that I think is critical, and we've talked about how the Browns, second in the NFL in sacks, headed into the week, the bye week, they didn't play, so they may have regressed a little bit there. But their ability to get to the quarterback, 11 times in the last two games, 11 sacks.
It's gotten better.
Andy Dalton the last 2 weeks, 5 of his 6 interceptions have come when he's been, quote-unquote, under pressure. He's completing about 40% of his passes. This is with 2 weeks to plan. I can't wait to see what Ray Horton can unleash on Andy Dalton this
week. Well, this is what he's promised us, isn't it, guys? I mean,
this
is what he said. He said by November, I think he said Thanksgiving, actually, right? This
Ray,
team would really be turning up the heat.
Ray Horton does not believe in the undersell over delivery motto. He's going to sell hard, and he expects to deliver hard. So I think that's a good thing to have that confidence and swagger. The defense definitely takes on that persona, and I think we've seen that, obviously, in the last two weeks with 11 sacks in two games. So this is where I think so much of this game will come down to is how Ray Horton matches up with Jay Gruden. Because I don't think Jay Gruden has had two of his better play-calling games as a coordinator for the Bengals these last two games.
I'm with you. And I think maybe we were a little bit overcritical of the Browns not creating a pass rush in games against Detroit and Green Bay when we later found out that was the game plan. It was to create more of a cushion effect, if you will, to take away those underneath routes and what have you. So that's why they didn't bring guys off the edge like you saw, you know, this past game against the Ravens. I mean, they were able to get Chris Owens free just because they decided to turn up the heat when they needed to.
Yeah, and they go back to the first matchup against this team. The Bengals held to 6 points in that game. The Bengals were held in the game to 266 total yards. They got one interception of Andy Dalton, 2 sacks, but they were around him quite a bit. And that's what they need to do again. I think if they can get around Andy Dalton, they can rattle him. And it goes to also the other thing, getting off the field on third downs. Because when you're number one in the NFL in yards per play, if you can limit the length of drives, you're not going to give up a lot of yards.
Well, and to your point, I think, and to Vic's point earlier, I think Andy Dalton's rattled already.
He's got to be.
So I think when you go out on Sunday, bringing that pressure early on to not allow him to get into any kind of rhythm, not let him start making some early connections with A.J. Green is going to be vital.
And I think the other thing I like about this, regardless of who the other quarterback is, although it is important if it is a rattled guy, is the fact that the Browns quarterback is unrattled. That you look at Jason Campbell, and the great news today from Rob Chudzinski is that his ribs are fine, or he's doing fine and was able to fully participate in practice. So we look forward to seeing him be as healthy, I guess, as he can be with a little back issue in that Kansas City game and then the rib issue in this last game against Baltimore. Now to see a guy, you know, can he hold up physically, I think is the number one question I have as we look at these final 7 games. But I know mentally it's such a plus to think about all these thoughts about what it takes to have the right mindset to endure this stretch run. The one guy who I believe has that down is the quarterback.
I totally agree, and I got to share something with you guys. You know, he's become kind of a renaissance man, obviously, here with the way this season has evolved. And it's interesting how we look at players in a different light when they move up that depth chart. And so I just found today, you know, I gravitated over towards Jason Campbell as he was changing. We're not permitted to talk to him until Wednesday this week, but just his interaction with us is just at a different level. And it's because obviously there is more interaction than there was before, but there's a confidence and there's just an air and an aura about him that maybe I didn't see before that I do see now. And obviously it's because he is the starter, but it's also in the way that he carries himself. And this is something that we didn't necessarily see behind the scenes. The players told us about that, what a good guy he was in the locker room, what a mentor he was to younger players. And you can see that now that he is really evolving into the leader of this team.
That's key.
It is key, and it's somebody who's played meaningful games before at the most critical position. So it's good to have that experience. At least you know that Jason Campbell is not going to go into a situation that he's never been in before, and he actually will be able to hopefully help guide the ship just like Rob Chudzinski steers it so calmly.
Tom, tremendous. Thank you.
Glad to be here. Good to see you guys.
Good
yes,
to see you.
We'll catch up with you later in the week. He is Tom Withers
from
the Associated Press. It is a big week as the Browns prepare to face the Bengals. The Roundtable brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River. They're celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Please check out the delicious details at samanddaves.com. That's salmon like the fish and Dave's like Dave Dean of Talent.
It's the perfect thing to have on one of these cold winter nights.
Oh, it truly. It truly is. And we've got
sit down with some bisque.
Oh, now you're talking. We've got more
now
coming up. Your
gas.
Calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, looking to talk with you. Tweet us at Browns_Daily as well. On a Football Monday, a Veterans Day edition of CBD ESPN 850 WKNR.